Hello, funky listeners, and welcome to another episode of Funk Radio. This is your host, Kyle.
And this is your host, Kyle.
It's double the Kyle for double the what the fuck.
Just kidding, listeners. This is Peter. We like to have jokes on Funk Radio.
It helps us deal with our sadness that no one listens to us.
I'm sad no matter how many jokes we tell. Well, I don't have a good transition from that.
There is none.
Why don't you tell us, Kyle, about your inspiration for this topic for today?
Okay. The topic for today is we're going to talk about indie artists that collaborated with funk, soul, R&B, and I guess in this case, rap artists. The reason I thought of this episode was because I was listening to the radio and I heard a song by Arcade Fire called I Give You Power, and at the end of the song they said it was featuring Mavis Staples. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, because Arcade Fire is kind of an indie band. So I thought to do some research and see if any other indie artists collaborated with soul or R&B artists or whatever. And I found enough to basically make an episode. So here we are.
So it's mixing contemporary indie artists with big names in soul music.
Yeah.
Who are kind of past their prime, but still occasionally do things.
Yeah, yeah. It's a collaborative thing. I mean, we always joke about, you know, how every pop song features a rap artist. This is an extension of that, I suppose, with a lot of indie songs featuring soul artists or sometimes in later instances, rap artists. But, we don't really talk about indie music a lot on our little podcast here because it's a little outside our realm, but I like indie music, so I thought it'd be fun to talk about.
Sounds good.
As I mentioned in the inspiration, the first song that I came up with was the song I Give You Power by Arcade Fire featuring Mavis Staples. The funny thing about this song was it was originally released on the music platform Tidal, T-I-D-A-L, and which Arcade Fire apparently had a stake in. Now, if you guys don't remember what Tidal was, you are forgiven, because I think it lasted for all of like 9 months.
I actually had to look up what this was. I didn't know. I hadn't really. If I had heard of it, it had been a long time.
Yeah, yeah. It's for those of you that don't know what it is. It's a subscription-based music streaming service, not unlike Spotify, that combines lossless audio with high-definition music videos and curated editorials, I guess. The thing about Tidal is it's backed and funded, I guess initially crowdfunded, whatever, by musicians themselves. Very likely in a response to the controversy around Spotify and the amount of money that it pays out to artists for streams.
Yeah.
They also collaborated with Sonos, who makes those wireless speakers that you can put around your house or whatever. You've seen commercials for them. They're like the new Bose. Some of the major backers for Tidal include Jay-Z, Kanye, Arcade Fire, as I mentioned before, Deadmau5, Calvin Harris, Chris Martin from, help me.
Coldplay.
Thank you. Usher, Nicki Minaj, Daft Punk, Jack White, Madonna.
Basically a lot of people with money.
Exactly. So, yeah, basically the whole idea behind Tidal was, you know, buy musicians for musicians, whatever kind of shit. And one of the key selling points for the platform, as opposed to things like Spotify, was that you could get exclusive content, by these artists that collaborated on it. Not unlike when artists, you know, exclusively release their albums in Walmart or Target or whatever, they created Tidal as, you know, the exclusive place to stream shit, so that they could basically reap more of the streaming profits and whatnot.
Well, from their website too, it looked like there wasn't a free.
There's not a free version
of it. Yeah, you actually had to pay for the subscription.
No. Yeah, it's like YouTube Red, sort of. There is no free version of Tidal. There is only the one that you pay for.
I mean, that's kind of smart on their part, because I know Spotify loses like millions of dollars a year.
Very good point. Whether or not you see it as a successful thing, basically, it just was a way for artists to garner more royalty money from their work, I guess, because there wasn't as much of a middleman, I suppose.
Right.
So, I mean, that's really all I know about it. I don't want to speak too much about it. I don't know how successful it is right now. I don't know a lot of people that use it. I know a lot of people did criticize it because they saw it as a kind of cash grab by artists. But that's neither here nor there. We've done plenty of episodes discussing the logistics of streaming music and copyright, right, and whatnot. So, yeah.
So you originally said that this song "I Give You Power" was initially released as exclusively on Tidal.
Yeah, it was exclusively supposed to be on Tidal, but then quickly made its way to all the other streaming services because the platform wasn't reaching a wide enough audience to give them reason to keep it on there exclusively. But the funny thing about the song was that a Twitter handle for Arcade Fire called @ArcadeFireTube teased the track's release in response to the inauguration of Donald Trump, because the track actually came out on the 19th of January, just a day before his inauguration.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
Yeah, and the song has lyrics like, quote, "I give you power over me, I give you power, but I gotta be free," coming from Mavis Staples herself. So a lot of people saw it as a bit of a jab at Donald Trump. Furthermore, apparently proceeds from sales of the song actually went to the ACLU, which is one of the major, I guess, litigation forces fighting against things that Trump is doing. Hmm. So that's kind of funny. But I mean, whether or not you agree with their politics, the song itself's pretty cool. Let's actually play a little clip of it so you guys can see. It's a bit different. I mean, if you guys are familiar with Arcade Fire, it sounds a little different than the normal stuff, but to where I'm just like, oh, this is interesting. But I would like it. So here's a clip of "I Give You Power" by Arcade Fire and Mavis Staples. Over me, I give you power. What did you think of it, Peter?
I thought it was alright.
Yeah, I mean, it's decent. I like Mavis Staples a lot. I like that she's still making music herself. I think she was just on a tour a year or two ago. So
yeah, it seems she her name is something that seems to come up every couple of years. In smaller projects like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think she did release an album within the last few years, but I don't remember.
Yeah,
I might be wrong about that.
No, I think you're right. If I remember, it was a solo album or something.
Right.
But yeah, she's been having a pretty decent solo career as of late, and she is no youngster. She's 77, so.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And this is probably the most recently released song on this list.
Yeah,
given
I believe
that it was
so.
Only oh, it was a month ago today from as of this recording.
That's funny. Yeah, I believe so. There's a couple in here that in our list that were released last year, but this is definitely the most recent. So,
cool.
So yeah, that was that. What do we got up next, Mr. Prado?
Well, on the other end of the spectrum, I guess we have what would be the oldest one in this list,
mm-hmm,
if I'm correct on that.
I believe so.
This is back in 2010, which I can't believe is already 7 years ago.
God.
So this collaboration is by The Gorillaz featuring Bobby Womack. The song is called Stylo. I think we literally in like the first maybe couple of episodes of this show, we did mention this song.
Yeah.
In passing, at least. I don't remember what we would have.
I know we did a
review about it with it.
I know we did a review of Bobby Womack's unfortunately final album as one of our first episodes, and we may have mentioned this, his collaboration with the Gorillaz, in that episode, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I know we've mentioned it before.
Yeah. But it's been it's been years, so might as well mention it again. So, fun little fact about the background of this song. Bobby Womack, who was popular soul singer back in, I would say, the 60s or so, maybe a bit in the 70s as well.
Yeah.
So he's old, obviously. Did he die, by the way?
Yeah, he passed away.
Yeah, that's too bad. Anyway, at the time, he had never heard of the Gorillaz. I think, what was it that they had? I think they actually reached out to him and said, hey, we want to do this collaboration with you. But he had never heard of them. It was like, yeah, I don't know about this.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently his granddaughter liked the Gorillaz and said, hey, you should actually do this. So he went ahead and did it. And during the recording of the song, or at least as they were developing it, they told Womack to just sing whatever was on his mind. He said, quote, I was in there for an hour going crazy about love and politics, getting it off my chest. After an hour of recording, however, he started to pass out, I guess, because he was diabetic. So he sat down, they gave him a banana, and then he woke up a few minutes later.
I would just like to point out that it's hilarious that the Gorillaz gave him a banana.
Yeah, I liked that little thing as well. how would you describe the Gorillaz?
The Gorillaz actually themselves are kind of considered one of the first, quote, virtual bands. They're two main musicians, I guess, Damon Albarn and Jamie Hewlett, basically founded it. But the funny thing is, Jamie is actually a graphic designer and comic book artist who basically came up with, like, the cartoon persona of the band, whereas Damon is more of a kind of DJ, I guess, and he basically collaborated on a lot of the music. The funny thing is, and I didn't know this until actually just right now, is Damon Albarn was also the lead singer of the band Blur.
Oh.
The only song I know from them, but it's like super famous, is they have a song called Song 2. I guarantee if you look it up, you've heard it, because it's been in like a bajillion commercials.
I do like Blur a little bit, I probably know that song if I...
Oh, okay. Hear it. Yeah, I don't know why it's just called Song 2, but yeah, super famous song. That's pretty funny that I didn't realize they were the same person. So, guess you learned something new. But yeah, no, so the Gorillaz made of these two guys, Damon Albarn, Jamie Hewlett, who was kind of a graphic designer, animator guy. But it's cool because he used his artistic skills to basically create this virtual band persona that is in all the music videos, and they have digital versions of them at their concerts. So they're widely kind of considered one of the first virtual bands, even though it's really just mostly electronic music and collaborative music.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
So I might have blanked for a second there. Did you say that they do actually perform live as themselves, or?
Yeah, they perform as themselves, but they have, like, you know, huge video monitors and stuff that that show the characters, guess, of the band.
So it's not like Daft Punk or something where they only exist in their fictional form.
No, they are on stage themselves. In fact, there's a fairly famous live concert recording where they bring Snoop Dogg out on stage with them for one of their songs, which is pretty freaking awesome. But yeah, in all their concerts and their music videos, they play off this kind of cartoon band that they created.
So do they have a cartoon Snoop Dogg as well?
No, it was really Snoop Dogg. But yeah. Hmm. That's cool.
All right. Well, so yeah, I guess we'll play a little clip of this song Stylo, which is mostly, you know, obviously in the style of the Gorillaz, but then you got some nice unmistakable Womack vocals.
Bobby Womack
in there, yeah. Here's what we got to do. Again, that was called Stylo by the Gorillaz featuring Bobby Womack. Some young people and an old guy.
That's just how they categorize the song. It's just young people, old guy. The third song in our set is another fairly new one. I believe they came out with their album last year. Is this band called Banks and Steels. It's actually a collaboration between the lead singer from the band Interpol and RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan. The lead singer of Interpol is Paul Banks, so hence the Banks and Steals, I guess. Yeah, the duo actually began making music together back in 2011 and started recording a full album back in 2013. They released it on August 26, 2016. It's called Anything But Words, and it's had fairly good critical success. I mean, anything that any of the members from Wu-Tang Clan touch is pretty much gold, so.
That's true.
Because they're awesome. And there was a song that was kind of like their, you know, their big single, I guess, off of the album that was played a lot on a lot of the indie stations called Giant. And it's a bit political, I guess, because I guess Wu-Tang's kind of political. But yeah, it's mostly RZA rapping in the verses, and then Paul Banks comes in on the chorus, and it's just kind of a cool, I don't know, rap, rock sort of thing. I mean, there's not really too much to say about it. This is their first album. I hope they make more, because it is actually a pretty cool collaboration between the two of them, and I like RZA. So,
yeah.
Have you heard of Interpol, Peter, at all?
I've heard of Interpol. I don't really know anything by sound.
A couple songs you might recognize if you heard them is the song Evil is like probably one of their bigger ones, and a song called All the Rage Back Home. Not really much more to say about this. I like them. Hopefully they come out with more albums, because it's a cool collaboration. Without further ado, let's actually play a little clip of Giant by Banks and Steals. I'm not trying to take it slow. Working hard, taking dough. Open the 24.
So that was good. I guess that's another one that's pretty recent. It's only maybe, what, 6 months ago or so?
Yeah, about that.
That this album came out, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what's so funny about a lot of these artists that I've been finding is a lot of them are fairly recent collaborations, so this seems to be a pseudo-new phenomenon. But,
yeah.
I mean, we've kind of been discussing loosely the resurgence, I guess, of soul music in certain musical circles, so maybe...
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's helping, yeah.
Yeah, it's the fact that it's sort of, quote, coming back is getting a lot of these indie artists to collaborate with these people. So, yay.
Well, speaking of big people, we have a song...
Good segue.
...by Fantagram featuring Big Boy, similar to what you just talked about with Banks and Steals, Kyle. They kind of made a collaboration thing called Big Grams. And through that collaboration, they made a song called Fell in the Sun. So this comes from their self-titled debut EP, which came out in September of 2015. But going back a little bit before that, back in 2010, Big Boy, who, if you don't know, is actually half of the famed hip-hop duo Outkast, funny enough, he accidentally discovered Fantagram when hearing their single Mouthful of Diamonds on a pop-up ad, which I thought was probably one of the weirder ways to discover a musical artist. Don't think I've heard of that one. So after hearing this song, Big Boy shared the song on his website and said it was the, quote, jam of the week. And so Fantagram, who is made up of two people, Josh Carter and Sarah Barthel, saw the post from Big Boy and contacted him and said, hey, we should do some collaborations. And obviously they did, because we're talking about them. But before they did this in 2015, in 2012, Big Boy had an album called Vicious Lies and Dangerous Rumors, which actually included three tracks featuring Fantagram. Those were Objectum, Sexuality, CPU, and Lines. And in an interview they had just a few days before its release, Big Boy said that he and Fantagram were actually planning to record a one-off EP type of thing, quote-unquote, titled Big Grams. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that's the only bummer about this thing is that it's just an EP, so I don't know if they're actually going to either make a full album or continue to make any other music together, collaborations, or if that's it for them, but... It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, he did say it was a one-off thing, but you never know. I mean, for all the collaboration they've done at this point, it might be weird to just say, yeah, we're done.
True.
But you never know.
It's kind of bubbly if for a song being about falling in the sun, apparently. It's very, like, it's very much a summery song, I think.
Where their whole world falls into the sun.
Yeah. I'm sure nowadays a good portion of people would like to throw Earth into the sun. Be like, I'm done. Done with this shit.
Well, while you think about that, listeners, why don't we hear a clip of this song? If I speak it, then I mean it. I would never take it back. My demeanor's like a king. I'm leaving niggas in the trap. The name Big Grams is just making me think of Golden Grams, the cereal.
Dude, Golden Grams are the shit.
Now I want to eat that, and I don't have it.
Oh, man. It sounds like I know what you're doing after this.
Possibly. There was that time where we talked about the cereal box records.
Yeah.
And we talked about shitty, sugary kid cereal. Mm-hmm. And literally, when we stopped recording that episode, I went out and bought a bunch of crappy, sugary cereal and made myself sick.
Did you end up eating all of them before they went stale?
I did finish them at some point, yes. But it was a bit much. That's the bad influence that this show has on me.
Yeah, we have bad food. We have bad food suggestions. So the last, I guess, collaborative indie song on our list is one that I also think we may have talked about, but I'm not 100% sure at this point, is the collaboration between Jamie XX and Gil Scott-Heron. I know we've talked about Gil Scott-Heron before on the show.
Yeah, I don't think we've talked about this song, because to my knowledge, I've never heard it before now.
Okay. So, for those of you that don't know, Jamie XX is a English DJ electronic-y guy who's one of the two-part group called The XX, who themselves are kind of like an indie electronic duo, I guess. Mm. And Mr. Jamie collaborated with Gil Scott-Heron on a remix of Mr. Heron's album that he released in 2010 called I'm New Here. Which is funny, because he ain't new. He's old as shit. In fact, let me see if he's dead. Mr. Gil Scott-Heron, are you dead?
Well, I was surprised to see that he's still doing something.
He's not dead. Good lord. Oh, he's actually not that old. He's only 62. Wow.
He must have been pretty young in his heyday, then.
Yeah, I mean, shit. When did the Revolution Will Not Be Televised come out? Like the 60s?
Yeah, I mean, early 70s at the latest, probably.
Damn.
I can look that up while you talk.
He must have been a baby. For those of you that don't know who Gil Scott-Heron is, he is an American soul jazz musician / poet who's famous for his pseudo-spoken word songs such as The Revolution Will Not Be Televised and my favorite, Whitey on the Moon.
The Revolution Will Not Be Televised was 1971.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to waste time doing math to see how young he was, but he was young.
Like
he was 20-something.
22, roughly.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's cool. So yeah, he's a fairly famous soul artist in his own right. And he apparently, like I said, had an album that came out in 2010, so he himself was still working. Pretty impressive. And Mr. Jamie decided to kind of remix it into a more electronic-y version called We're New Here. Very creative title. Mm. And he actually apparently communicated with Mr. Heron through letters to get his approval on certain, you know, I guess, additions that he made to the remixes of the tracks. So that's kind of cool that people will still communicate through letters and not email.
That's nice.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's not really a whole lot more to say about this. It's very bass-heavy, very dance, you know, like EDM dance hall kind of shit with Gil's vocals interlaced in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really cool. I like it. I mean, it's definitely like the type of shit you hear at like Electric Daisy Carnival and all that shit. But it's this particular track, New York Is Killing Me, is pretty awesome because Gil Scott-Heron's got a very unmistakable voice, very, not bluesy, but like very rough, I guess.
Yeah.
And so his kind of gruffness really lends itself well to Jamie's kind of unrefined electronic sound, I guess, for lack of a better term. So yeah, let's play a little clip of New York Is Killing Me by Jamie XX and Gil Scott-Heron.
New York, York killing, 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 killing. New York is killing me, me.
Did you have a listen, Peter?
It's all right. I didn't love it, but that doesn't mean that they didn't do a good job. I'm glad you like it, Kyle.
Thank you, Peter. It's a bit repetitive, but I guess what electronic music isn't.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean it's good dance music. I'm not much of a club dancer myself, but I can always appreciate some good bass. So
it sounds like from this album, We're New Here, has obviously multiple songs by the two of them together. So maybe there's another one on the album that I would like.
There probably is.
As you mentioned, that was the last one of our list here. Do we have any closing thoughts for this theme of newer artists kind of mixing it up with some of the old ones? I guess, you know, you hear a lot about, well, I guess you are saying like kind of the supposed return of soul music and whatnot. I've definitely, you know, I think we've both definitely seen the last 5 to 10 years or so, there has been more soul and funk influence in genres like electronic or indie, for example. So it's interesting not only to hear influence in like people's original works, but also having them getting the chance to actually reach out to some of these people who inspired them and say, hey, you know, can we do something together? And I'm sure as like one of the younger artists, I'm sure that's like a really big deal to be able to do that.
Very true. Yeah, I mean, I guess all I can say about this is I hope more artists decide to collaborate with some of their influencers, I guess, you know. Oh, people want to meet their heroes all the time, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a cool mix of genres, the kind of indie genre with soul. It seems like a good blend, or indie genre with rap, either way. Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like a fairly new phenomenon, like I said. I mean, the oldest one we could come up with was 2010, so here's hoping that people, different indie artists, continue to do this.
Before everybody dies.
Yeah, that too. It sounds silly too, but I mean, it's nice that these artists are able to introduce a new generation of listeners to these old masters, I guess.
That's a good point.
As well. So, gets them, like, gives them new blood, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's about all I got. I'm not full of words tonight.
Well, I'm glad that these older, more legendary artists are also willing to come out of the woodwork and actually work with some of these newer people too.
Yeah, very good point. They're not just like, ew, who are these young and millennial fucks? Get off my lawn.
Yeah, well, we tend to say that about millennials, but I guess these older people don't seem to mind as much as we seem to sometimes.
Yeah, true.
So
I'm a millennial, Peter. I don't like labels.
If you have labels for us, listeners, tell us on
Please don't tell us. Hashtag you suck. Hashtag get a job.
Really, at this point, if they labeled us anything, it would prove that somebody was listening. Whereas right now, we get nothing, so whatever. Facebook.com/getyourfunk, or you can do that on SoundCloud.com/getyourfunk. As of recently, we're also on Google Play Music now. Go to their podcast section, search for Funk Radio. Unfortunately, we don't have a nice little URL to take you to that one, but whatever. Just do the work yourself.
Do the legwork, listeners. We're not going to hold your hand.
Bye.